Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, good day, good evening, good afternoon, whatever time of day it is, wherever you are in the world. This is Older and Wider saying hello. It's your turn.
Oh, turn. Hello, gang. Judith here. Are you in your study?
I'm in my study. Where else am
yeah,
I?
Yeah, you're always
ever?
In your study. I think every time I speak to you, you're in your study, unless
I'm in my study.
It's in the evening and I suspect you'll be on the beanbag in front of the telly. With
yeah,
the,
but I'm
with
not there now because we're working.
No, well, thank God. No, yeah. No. Of course, we've seen your study recently on the television. Haven't we?
Well, some people have. Not everybody in the world, Judith. You know, a few people. I'm not sure my mother saw it. I phoned her up at 7:30 to say, listen, I'm on the telly tonight in about half an hour on Channel 4. She goes, Channel 4, is that number 4? Is that number 4 on the doodah? I said, yes, that's number 4 on the doodah. And when I spoke to her the next day, she was very vague about it.
Was she?
I sort of mentioned, I said, did you see the show? And she went, yeah.
Did you test her? Did you ring her to test her?
No, because I ring her every day. But I just said, you know, I happened to drop in the conversation, you know, did you manage to see the show? And I could just tell she was being so vague about it.
Yeah, she didn't mention
anybody else or anything else about the show. And I nearly tested her, nearly sort of said, oh, did you see Jeff? Because you know Jeff was just waving.
Well, you better tell the gang what it was, just in case people haven't seen.
Okay, so there's been this brilliant program during lockdown, which I think, I mean, regardless of the fact that I was on it, which I kept my trap shut about that for quite a long time because I had a horrible feeling I might get bumped for a bigger name because that does happen in show business quite a lot, especially to me. honestly, it happened so early on in my career that actually I got used to it really quickly. I was bumped from a Victoria Wood and Walter's sketch show when I was in a band. I was then bumped from an all-female show that Janet Street Porter had a chat show. It was called The Cat Show. Do you remember this, Judith? It's going
back. I don't.
It's going back to the 80s.
No, I don't.
It was on
that.
LWT, and I was a punk poet at the time. I was about 22. And so it was about 1982, and I was invited on to do a poem. And I thought that they'd have me on stage with the other guests, but they didn't. They put me in the middle of the audience, and I just had to stand up on this cue and just start one of my awful, slightly sweary punk poems. And obviously, everybody, because nobody in the studio audience knew I was going to do it, so they all thought
Jenny.
I was kind of some nuisance that had got in on the show. So obviously, when they played back the edit of the recording, they could see was just horrified faces all around me, and people pulling at my shirt as if to say, shh, just sit down now. Sit down now, love.
That was a really bad idea on the producer's part, I have to say. I think you were doomed. It was doomed to be cut
out. The Grace and Perry show is much better organised. And it is, I do think that of all the, actually, I've barely watched any of the others, but I do think for a show that's been filmed in lockdown, they have managed to pull off something quite spectacular.
Oh, may I say I agree.
Well, I'm glad you do, Judy.
Knobs on. No, it's fantastic. I love that show. I love him. I love his wife, Philippa. I love the atmosphere.
Yeah,
I love what he's
good.
Talking about. It is. So, we were all properly impressed.
It's a good-hearted show, and it's got a point. It's sort of, and he knows his art, and you know you're in safe hands when you're talking about art, because even though he's really sort of open-armed about art, and you know he genuinely believes everybody should be allowed to do it, he also knows a hell of a lot about the history of art and artists and all that sort of thing. He knows his stuff. Sorry, that was a siren going past my house. Occupational hazard. So anyway, I mean, this is very boring for people who haven't seen it, but, you know, it's available on Catch Up.
Well, yeah, no. I mean, I think the gang needs to watch it. But, I mean, quite apart from the fact that
But it's not homework. We can't set them home.
But it is good. It is good.
But the theme of the show was home. So basically, my job on the Grace and Perry Art Club programme was to draw a picture that represented home to me. Now, there are many things I could have done. I could have just done a big jar of mayonnaise and a big jar of brown sauce for Jeff. And that would have represented her. Just a big vat of coleslaw. But I mooched about the house and I settled on a corner where you usually sit, actually. You know, the green sofa in the corner, the corner sofa.
I know it very well.
Very well. You've had your feet on that sofa many a time.
I certainly have. And it was a good choice.
Well, I just thought, well, that's quite simple. It's quite graphic. Mm-hmm. I don't need to, you know, I'm not taking any huge risks here, because what I didn't want to do was have to do it all over again. I thought, don't sort of overcomplicate. And then as soon as I realised that I had to do it, I sort of seized up a bit, Judith. And I did do a bit of tidying, and I hid loads of crap in the toilet, the downstairs loo. Yeah, there was some rubbish hanging about, and I just opened that door and I just shoved everything in there, then closed the door. And the other bit of the programme that I set up beforehand was, you know, because I've been doing this piece of art a day in lockdown, which I'm doing until June the 1st.
Is that your cutoff?
I think June the 1st is a cutoff date for a lot of people, because that's when people, you know, school's going back, and it's when you have to sort of think about getting back to normality. And I have to sort of, you know, burst my bubble a bit and start being a little bit braver and thinking about grown-up work. And I exhibited all the works that I'd done since the middle of March, more or less, on the cupboard door, you know, where downstairs there's the lavatory door, and then there's the under the stairs.
Yeah, the cupboard
door, brooms, there.
The one you don't use very much. The one you haven't used it at all.
Barely used.
But it's not been open since lockdown.
Actually, it has, and I'll tell you for why after. There's been a lot of hoovering done in this house recently, Judith, but I'll tell you that in a bit. Okay.
Right.
So I blue tacked everything up there. Like, you know, that's what the Tate do, apparently. Just blue tack it all up. And sort of talked about that a bit. And then I talked about the process of drawing. But obviously, they edited it down to... But I mean, honestly, it was a one-woman show, Judith. It's a shame, really, because, of course, because I hate silence. So when I was drawing, I was talking through it, and obviously, burbling on. And the poor editors of that show, you know, they had to wade through about 2 hours of me going, well, I'm moving on to the logs now. I've never really attempted logs before, because. And now, I'm trying to get a bit of a texture of the sofa here. So it went on a bit, but
it was brilliant. But also, can I say that the picture that you produced was really good, really, really good. I also want to know about the viewers' things, because one of the things that you did is you sort of picked out some of the viewers' art. So it's did they send you loads and loads and loads?
Yeah, that was great. I had a really happy couple of hours. Just browsing through, and it felt like playing God, because it was my job to pick my three favourites, and I thought I chose well, actually.
I think he thought you chose well too.
Well, that made, and he liked my choice of, because I had also, the other thing I had to do was choose a picture of home, a representation of home by a famous or well-known artist, you know, an artist that would be seen in a gallery. And I chose a piece that I'd seen. Well, I see it a lot because my favourite gallery is Tate Britain. And there's an artist called John Bratby, and he's what they call one of the kitchen sink artists. I chose one of his, and Grayson said, "Oh, yes, I like that." And I thought, oh, me and Grayson.
you so wanted to be teacher's pet. And I did too.
So, Judith, I turned into you. Talking about teacher's pet, right, and pictures and everything, the funniest thing I've seen on Instagram this week is a picture of you in your back garden in the new dress that you have made, which is excellent, may I just say. Oh. But the picture is... honestly, I bet your mother had a photograph very similar to that with that expression on the first day you went to secondary school. Because there is a face that you do that I reckon you've probably had since you were born. But it was just such, and a stance that you sometimes do when you know you're having a photograph taken. And I really honestly do recommend that this, and we're sending people homework now. You've got to watch the Grace and Pay show, but you've also got to go on our Instagram account, the Older Wider Instagram account, and see this picture of Judith in her brand new dress, in of which she is obviously slightly proud. And you're standing there, and honestly, you could be 11.
I know what you mean. I looked at that photograph of myself and I knew there was something about it which I didn't like, which I felt, you know, because the girls have noticed that look. Whenever I'm on holiday and somebody's going to take a photo of me, they both say, "Don't do that face!"
But I think the face is good.
Well, it's it's kind of smug, isn't it? There's something smug, benign kind of, I don't know.
No, it's just very new girl at school. I've got my new uniform on. I'm ready to go. I'm clean and my hair looks nice. And your hair does look nice. I have to say, I'm glad you got rid of that brown rinse.
Yeah, well, I've been washing it, double washing it every day since I did it. You know, one of the gang sent me that tip with Head and Shoulders. And it is, thank God it's coming out. I don't look like I've got some bloody toupee on my head anymore.
Now, the other thing you've got, You've got a new toy, Judith, and it's a boat. I want to know more all about the boat.
Yes, I bought this very, 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 very cheap rowing boat. This had been abandoned at the sailing club. Because as you know, I swim every day in a sailing club that has this kind of big, wild swimming lake. Oh my God, we're so lucky. And, it's been magnificent. But anyway, yes, I bought
Have you been cheap... social distancing, or has it been like those ridiculous scenes in Southend Beach? Is the lake being inundated, or is it still quite...
There have been times, certainly on the sunniest... Yeah, there have. I need to come on to that, because there's been a nasty incident.
Oh, great.
But, yes, I bought this rowing boat for 45 quid. Needed a bit of doing up. So, no, it's. I mean, it needed a bit more doing up than I thought.
Yeah, and, 45 quid, love. It's not going to be seaworthy.
Big learning curve. Just get this, sent off to Halfords for a fiberglass mending kit. Done all my fiberglass mending. That was quite exacting. Then I had to send off to a marine shop for proper boat paint, you know, to paint it in the bright blue.
Oh, that's nice. So you're doing that nice sky blue, the sort of Greek blue.
Well, to be honest, they run... Obviously, everybody who's got a boat has decided to paint their boat this summer because they've got bugger all else to do. So, no, they kind of run out of that sort of Devon blue.
Oh, right.
They only have this kind of Aegean blue. So it's now
I think that's
Aegean.
Nice. Yeah.
Well, yeah, so it's Aegean blue. But, I've got quite into it, you know. I know about rollocks. Do you know what rollocks are?
It's where you put your oars in it.
Oh, my God, I didn't think you'd know that. How do you know that?
I've been about. I've done some stuff.
Well, I'm
what can I say?
Impressed. I'm quite
Judith,
sort of marine
okay.
savvy now. Oh yes.
Have you put it on water yet?
No.
Okay. That surprises me because I know what you're like. When you have a mission, you normally accomplish the mission pretty quickly. And I thought, oh geez, she's got a boat. That means she'll be on the river by this time tomorrow morning. I just thought, you know, you'll have had a picnic, you'll have had a blanket sorted out, you'll have a basket. I'm quite glad that you're not yet on the river. Good.
No, okay. I've got plans this weekend. And I don't really know whether it's going to sink or not. Because to be honest,
it's going to rain this weekend, Judith. It's going to
rain.
It's going to piss it down. It's thunder and lightning this weekend. It's really, really dangerous. Because your rollocks will conduct the lightning. You've got to be very careful. You've got to be careful of Mike's rollocks.
Should I tell you about the bad incident at the lake?
I'd love to hear it, yeah. I hope it gets really ugly.
It does get ugly. It
oh,
gets
brilliant.
Really ugly.
Have you really misbehaved? Fantastic. Yes. Have you let yourself down, Judith?
Well, I'll let you be the judge of it, but I...
Okay,
yes,
okay,
basically.
Stop right now. I want... right, if I'm going to be the judge of this, I'm going to put my moral hat on now, which is a bit like that hat that a hanging judge wears. And at the end of this, if I think you have to write a letter of apology, I'm going to tell you. Okay, right.
All right, so there's the sailing lake. Obviously, you have to be a member to be part of the sailing lake and to go swimming and to go have a picnic and all that, blah, blah, blah. However, it is the only swimming lake open in the whole of Oxfordshire, right? Okay, so the harbour master has been on the emails and all that, as I say, please beware, there's lots of people climbing over the fence and, you know, coming in that shouldn't be there and there's blah, blah, blah. Please be vigilant and please challenge people, blah, blah, blah. Who you don't think are members, right?
Oh, God.
Oh yeah. God. So I was there the other day. I mean, you know, to be honest, quite often you go there and you think, oh, you're not a member, are you? You know, because they instead of parking inside, and in order to get inside, you have to use your membership swipe card, right?
Yeah.
You're obviously parking all the way down the lane, and then they're hanging around the gate. You get the picture? Hanging around the gate.
I don't know whose side I'm on at the moment. I'm afraid I'm on the ones hanging around. I'm sorry, all you swipers, all you smug swipers. I don't think I'm on your side. I'm climbing over that fence with the others, I'm afraid. Go on.
Well, I wasn't expecting that. Okay, and they've all got, you know, towels and all that stuff, right?
Yeah.
So every time you go in through your swipe thing, people are kind of, you know, edging their way through to towards the fence. And, so I was sort of saying, well, have you got your swipe card? Do you know the code? And, you know, quickly doing all that business and closing it and leaving them there looking forlorn. Anyway, okay, so, I was kind of really getting into it. And not only was I doing it coming in and out, but I was starting that night to sort of say, oh, you know, have you got your float thing there with your membership number on and everything? Oh, just checking. It's just, you know, Commodore said we should check. Anyway, I noticed this black 4x4 that had driven all the way on the bund, you like that word, between the two lakes and was picnicking right over the other side. So I was getting myself all into, you know, hot under the collar, thinking, well, they shouldn't be there. There's a great big sign there that says they shouldn't drive beyond that. But I'm going to tell them. I am. Well, it's a long way. I might not tell them. Anyway, we carry on drinking and everything. And somebody says, oh, there's the black car, right? So the black car starts to come round towards the gate to go out. So I go out in front of it and I take a photograph of the registration number.
Oh, my
thinking,
God.
Thinking, well, they're not members, are they? They're not members. They've gone over the bund. They've broken all the rules. I'm going to tell the Commodore and the Harbour Master. I've really got myself into a slather, right? So I did that. So I went back to sit down again. And
Judith, had you been drinking alcohol? Because you don't normally drink alcohol.
A little bit, but I wasn't pissed. No, I just got, you know, I just got my, whatever it is, the military voice that you do. I got myself like that. I got my...
Sorry, Mia!
Yes.
The Colonel!
I've become...
Excuse me! May I stop you right there? I just need to have a quick word. Do you mind? Just, if you'd just like to wind your window down, I just need to check a few facts.
Exactly. Anyway, you know what's coming, don't you?
I'm mortified. Honestly, my vagina is in a spasm of mortification on your behalf. Go on. Who won? So it's probably the mayor of Oxfordshire or something.
No, the poor man comes over to me and he says, look, I know you've taken my registration number, but I'm a brand new member and I've read all the rules and I don't think I have. I've been unloading my boats there. You can ask everybody around there. I haven't, you know, and we're allowed to do that. I said, well, I don't think so. And anyway, you've been here for several hours. I've been sitting here and you've been, you know, you've been there for a long time. How long does it take to load a boat? Well, I promise you it wasn't me. And, you know, what's your name? He asked me my name and everything. So off he went. And then, of course, he got a swipe card, which was a bit of a bad sign, wasn't it? So he managed to get out. At which point I sat back down again with Mike and my mates. And I looked over the other side of the lake and there was the black car still there. So basically this was a different bloody car. Different car. And he had just been unloading his boats and I'd done all that.
Oh, God, really Judith, I don't know how you can show your face there again. Well, I would, okay, I've got my moral judgment hat on, and at this point, I think you should rip up your membership, you should resign from the club because of your appalling behaviour, and then I think you should punish yourself with 6 months. I'm going to sentence you to 6 months. I'm not really, but if I could, I would. I'd sentence you to 6 months of no swimming in the lake. Because That is, that's yeah, harsh. That's how bad it is. Yeah,
it was quite bad, wasn't
the
it?
The only excuse you have for that, and I think you have to now start saying, yeah, I was pissed out of my head. I had no idea what I was doing. I've been drinking on an empty stomach in very hot weather.
Oh, I know, but I haven't had, I know. Anyway, I do need to have to, I think I need to rein myself right in on this bossy boots thing. I really, really do. So now I don't
think
say anything.
Genuinely, I think you need to get that dog as soon as possible because you need somebody to boss about that isn't a human being.
That
isn't a car-driving human being.
Yeah,
anyway, you know you said earlier that you didn't think I opened my cleaning cupboard very often. I've had the Hoover out a lot, Judith. Shall I tell you why?
Yes.
Well, we're moving on to feet gate now.
Oh, well, I hope we are. I'm looking. Yeah. Oh, but you're joking. Uh-huh. Has it been that much? Has you been shitting that much?
Well, you know that sometime about 10 days ago, excuse me, I'm drinking Diet Coke and it's I went a little burpina. So about 10 days ago, I received my exfoliating socks, my Footner plastic socks from Amazon, which with these huge plastic bag things you put on your feet and then you tie them tighter and they've got this gel in them. And you have to keep it on for an hour. You have to keep these socks on for an hour and then rinse off. I did all that. And it said in the instructions, because for once in my life, I read the instructions, you know, it should take about a week and then the shedding, the dry skin shedding should commence.
Starting to salivate now. Go on.
Well, honestly, more or less a week to the minute, I was in the chair watching the television and it's that grey, nubbly linen sort of, it's a woolen linen chair. And I suddenly thought, oh, what's the chair's gone peculiar? What's the chair falling to pieces? And it was like a heavy dandruff. It was like a heavy fall of dandruff. It's like if dandruff fell as snow, it would be thick snow. And I had to get the Hoover. Honestly, if I'm not hoovering up dead ants, because I had the flying ant infestation, I had to keep hoovering for that. And then I have spent the last 3 days or so, once in the morning and once in the evening, hoovering the shedded skin. It's not quite as dramatic as I'd have liked. What I was hoping for was that whole reams of skin was going to come off, like sort of, you know, like a sheet of phyllo pastry.
Yeah.
I was hoping I was going to be able to sort of layer it off like that and pull a whole sheet off at a time.
Yes, quite.
But it's a much more shredded, sheddy effect. It's like thick dandruff. It's like a form of leprosy on my feet. I will send you a photograph so that you know. In fact, have you got your mobile phone handy? Right, I'm going to send this to your mobile phone now, Judith.
I'm waiting for it. Oh, yes, here we are. Wait a minute. Oh, my God, Jenny! Oh, my goodness! I don't know what that looks like, but it's the sort of thing that you would see in a textbook for kind of really bad foot problems. You know those
really
things, those close-ups?
Yeah, I know.
That
it's
is
a sort
terrifying.
Of before, during and after. Listen, I mean, dear listeners, I'll put that photo up. The photo I've just sent Judith, which she has reacted beautifully to. What I should have, of course, be sending you isn't just photos. I should be sending you footage. Ha! You made that joke. I ripped it off you.
I didn't even realise it was a joke. That's really feeble.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Yes, I think we do want footage, really. I think we want footage. But I mean, obviously, as we've said before, the gang, I think, does divide into the people who like cysts and spot picking and these kind of stories, and the ones that are a bit averse. So those, it just comes with a health warning that the members of the gang who don't like it have to look away and,
And sort of close your eyes when I put it up on the Instagram. But you know, you're just saying our listeners divide into those who have got stronger stomachs. Than others. We got an email this week, Judith. I'm just trying to find it now. This is from Bethan to all of us. I appreciate I'm late to the party with my email, but I thought this would please you. For years, I had a big cyst on the back of my head, soon joined by a medium cyst on the back of my neck and a baby cyst near my temple. She's got a family.
Pictures. Sorry, I just got this picture of those pterodactyls with those great things that come over the top of their heads.
The cyst near my temple used to ooze either a cottage cheese type substance or a clear oily liquid of its own accord. I decided I'd had enough of waiting for my appointment to have them removed, so set about squeezing and poking them. Baby cyst produced a lovely pop in a baked bean casing, much to my satisfaction, but still oozed the oily liquid. It turned out the baby cyst was one of a twin. Okay, have you got this email in front of you?
Yes, I have, I have.
You take over now.
The medium cyst became infected because of my jiggery pokery, yeah, I can imagine, and got sliced open by the doctor, who announced, that smells like a good day at work.
God.
It was both stomach churning and deeply satisfying. Well, yeah, I had to. This has ended badly. This is a warning to the gang not to be poking about, isn't it? He says, I had to have a drain stitched into the open wound for a week after that.
Well, that'll teach us all, won't it?
It will. It will.
Then she goes on, keep going, Judith.
Oh, the big cyst got removed whole. Oh my God! And looked like a peeled boiled egg with a hair on top. Oh, even I find that a bit disgusting. They wouldn't let her keep it. Oh no. Hope you enjoyed hearing about my head babies. I love the podcast, Beth.
Okay, Beth. Judith and I thought that was possibly the best email we've ever received. Obviously, for a lot of people, some people might have fainted during that. And we have to leave it to Daisy as to whether she keeps it in the podcast. But obviously, we're very keen. We think that's hilarious. So keep them coming. If you can beat that, but only if you can beat that.
Oh, it's impossible. That's surely impossible.
Yeah. Yeah,
but that beats. Well, that is long. Yeah, it's quite a challenge.
That beats my shedding feet, I think. But anyway, glorious and lovely. We're not going to dwell on politics this week because it has been very messy, and I know that you're bored of the whole Dominic Cummings thing.
Yes, I am.
So we are doing what they've told us to do, which is move on. I, of course, would dwell and picket it. I'd start
like a
cyst, but. I think that there's a couple of things I'd like to mention about that. First of all, Judith, I wasn't impressed by the Rose Garden. You know, he did his long, rambling speech of nonsense in the Rose Garden.
Press conference
in the Rose Garden. I couldn't see a single rose.
I didn't even notice whether there were. But yes, I think you might be right. Well, that's... Yeah.
Oh, you know, I've got a tiny garden, but I've got more roses than they have. Now, the other thing is... Barnard Castle. I used to go to school. I went to a very rough school in Barnard Castle. Did I ever tell you about that?
No, I had no idea.
Yeah, well,
explains a lot. But yeah, what were you doing there?
Well, my dad was an army officer, and he'd done something in Berlin. Gone over the wall. Not sure what he'd done. Taken some photos. Got chucked out of Berlin. Anyway, we'd ended up in Barnard Castle, and. My sister and I had been to this really posh, very experimental school in Berlin for nice children. And we ended up on this army camp in Barnard Castle, right? I think they say Barnard Castle. It was a squaddy school, and it was, you had to ask for lavatory paper. It was cold.
Really?
It was, children were beaten. The food was appalling. It was really actually very good for us, to be quite honest. But I thought you might know Barnacastle, because once upon a time you used to, yeah, it's a beautiful spot up
it
there.
It is a beautiful spot. And I think it's where the Bowes Museum is. Lovely.
It
gallery.
Is. With yes. that swan, the silver swan.
Yes, yes. And, and I think that was, you know, the Queen Mother's family was Bowes Lyon. I think it was probably their house, wasn't it? Once
yes.
upon a time.
Really
Very
beautiful.
Nice museum. Yes, yeah. yes. It's gorgeous.
And there's a waterfall called High Force Waterfall. Have
yes,
you ever been there?
I have. How funny that you remember that. It obviously made a big impression on you.
Just because, I tell you why it made such a big impression. We were only there for about 6 months. But I remember it was cold a lot of the time. And there was just this beautiful stretch of summer days, and we ended up at this waterfall, and I remember that you could swim in the water below the waterfall. I think I've got the right place. I'm not sure. There are probably people listening saying, no, it's terribly dangerous. Obviously, maybe it was a smaller one we went to. I don't know. And just, you could actually get behind the waterfall.
Wow.
And standing on these rocks in your swimming costume. And I just remember being incredibly happy. And I've always had a huge thing for waterfalls ever since. I really, I really fucking love them. I
think. Have you been to Niagara?
No, and it's one of those things, you know, I hate the phrase bucket list. I really do. It annoys me. But it is on my sort of things I would really like to do. And of course, now, when you think about foreign travel, it just seems so remote and so impossible and such a, you know, peculiar thing to get on a plane with loads of
Doesn't
other people
it?
Breathing in yep. the same stuff. But there's a great film that I do hugely recommend, and it's called Niagara, and it's got Marilyn Monroe in it, and she's just brilliant in it. Have you ever seen it?
No, I haven't.
Honestly, I really, really recommend it. It's my recommendation of the week to everybody out there.
Oh, God, there's one thing that I just remembered about waterfalls, okay? Victoria Wood made a documentary, series of documentaries. I don't know whether you remember. Massive, sort of really expensive, about things with the name Victoria in.
Yeah, definitely.
So she
was.
Went
Did you produce that?
No, I didn't, but I know they went to Victoria Falls. And she was going, she did this big piece to camera there. It might even have been the beginning of the series, right? So it's a huge deal, all right? So they fly there, they trek there, hold of the crew, get there, they get to the Victoria Falls, and there's no water in it. There was no water in it, very, very little water. Because apparently, you know, if you go in the wrong time year, there's actually very little water in it, and the poor researcher obviously hadn't
God,
checked.
You'd be so pissed off, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I don't think she was very happy. I don't think anybody was very happy, but look, can you imagine?
Anyway, just before we get into the telly and books and, you know, whatever, the culture, what we laughingly call the culture
section.
Any news about dogs, Judith?
Dogs have... they are selling so fast now on the internet that it has been, and the price is going up from 2,000 to 3,000. I actually am now a bit scared. I've got quite close, and then I just think, you know, is this for real? Apparently people are, well, you sent me, there's massive scammers, people who obviously are pretending they've got puppies and they haven't got puppies because of COVID, and they're taking the deposit and they don't get them back. So I am a bit, I haven't really quite yet come across the person that I think, okay, she's a real, you know, this person has got a real dog and I'm satisfied with that. But they are going like hotcakes. You cannot imagine.
Well, you could have a hot cake instead.
Yeah,
just do that instead. Make a cake. Just have a hot cake every day. You can do that easily. Oh, it's a shame, but I do think you're being really sensible, actually, Judith. And I think a lot of people are being ripped off, and I think we just need to just let it go for a few months, and then when things are getting slowly back to a bit more normality, you can think about it.
I think so. I think that's the thing to do.
And anyway, you've got a boat now. You can't have a dog and a boat.
I know. It's just too much, isn't it?
You can't have a dog and a boat, because my jealousy levels, I can't quite...
Well,
you know
I
want
to kill...
Like.
You know, and I've ordered the kiln, obviously.
If you order a fucking kiln, if you get the triple, which is kiln, dog, boat, I'll probably jump off the roof. I couldn't hack it.
You go off me. Right, okay, so what are you watching on telly?
Okay, my new telly obsession It's very, very bad indeed. But I have gobbled the series. There's only one series. It's on Netflix. It's called The Big Flower Fight. And it's simultaneously marvellous and also terrible. And I can't stop watching it. The premise is it's basically the biggest Great British Bake Off ripoff that you can possibly get.
Oh, not again.
It is, again. But it's flowers, Judith Wright. But it's not right. Just simple flower arranging, which I have to say would be a lovely, challenging thing. Because I love flower arranging. Don't tell anybody, but there's a little bit of constant spry in me. I fucking love flower arranging. Okay. The only time I'd ever go into a church would be to arrange flowers. I'd really like that. Don't tell anybody.
Have you got any oasis at home?
I know what oasis are. I haven't got any of my own, but I'm actually, I really like it.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Right. And there's a brilliant Japanese girl called Frida Kim, who I follow on Instagram, who does really simple, elegant Japanese style. Anyway, this is my secret thing. But the Big Flower Fight is on a massive scale, and it's weirdly presented by presenters that don't really seem to have any feel or interest in the subject. It's Vic Reeves and Natasha Demetrius, who's in a programme called Stathlet's Flats. The contestants are great. And every week they have a challenge, and it's a flower challenge, flowers and plants, but it's on a massive scale. And they have to make these creations that are about 3 metres high.
Gosh.
Or 2 metres high. I've gone a bit mad. They're about 10 feet high and 10 feet wide. They are huge. They are absolutely massive. It might be something like a dinosaur erupting from the earth. It might be a huge sea creature. It could be they had to do a fashion piece. They've done all sorts of things. It is the scale of it and the amount of flowers that get used up. In fact, it's terribly wasteful. They have to create structures. They have to work with chicken wire. They have to work with wood. They have to. I mean, it's incredible what they're making. And there are some lovely little personal stories that are going along with the competitors. As I say, they are far more interesting than either the presenters or the judges. But it is the transformation of nothing into something that is the spectacle. It's worth. I'd like you to watch one, and then if you hate it, you can just. We shall never speak of it again. Okay.
Have you seen Keith Lemon's whatever it's called, Fantastic Craft Factory thing?
No, because I've got a very, very small appetite for Keith Lemon.
Yeah, I have too, actually. I realise that I really, really have, and it's getting smaller and smaller. I mean, it's just, you know, again, another bake-off thing, you know, with like two funny presenters and two judges and, you know, even the thing where they say, oh, you know, and they're making today and it was all on a grid. I mean, it's just a complete template from bake-off. I mean, it's fucking hell. I mean, I think, aren't we starting to get bake-off fatigue a little bit? Anyway.
No, not really. I love and I look forward every week to Sewing Bee. I really do. I think it's miraculous. But I mean.
Yes, it is.
Why don't you do it? Judith!
Hardly.
Oh, come on.
But I was disappointed in Keith Lemon's craft thing because I thought, well, at least, you know, it's going to be something that is quite sort of contagious, you know, in the sense that I might have a go at something.
Yeah. But what sort of things have they made?
Sort of ridiculous kind of, you know, flapping dragonflies. And I suppose it's a little bit like your thing, but way smaller. But kind of, it's all the kind of frou-frou stuff around it. You just think, oh, for goodness sake, can we just concentrate on the, I'm sounding boring, but, you know, like the craft stuff. Why does it have to be set in a castle? And why does it have to be all that stupid sort of business? I don't know. It's just like, oh, stop it.
I totally agree with you, Judith. I haven't even seen it, but I'm furious with it.
Yeah, of course you are. No, okay, so I think you should watch that. I think I'll watch.
Okay, how do I see that? What's it on?
Oh, I think it's on Channel 4, I think.
Okay, I'll find it on a catch-up. Okay.
Yeah, I think you'll find it silly. I think it'll come under the category of silly, but we'll see.
Okay, my drama, I'm watching 20 years after everybody else, we're watching The Sopranos.
Oh, lovely. Haven't seen it. I don't know why. I think
I think you'd like it. I think I you'd bet. Like it. But you're probably busy watching something else. So you can't watch two dramas at once.
No, you can't. We're watching White Lines and set on Ibiza. And my God, it's making me want to go to Ibiza and jump into that Aegean Sea. It's
good. Do you deal some drugs in Ibiza, Judith? Is that secret? Do you want to be a drugs mule in Ibiza?
I'd be useless. I would be so fucking useless as a drug dealer.
No, you know, you'd be the greatest drug mule of all time. Honestly, Judith. Because nobody would suspect you. You'd wear that new dress that you're quite proud of. And you'd just have that 11-year-old face on you. And everyone would go, oh, she's so sweet.
Yeah, off you go. Whatever.
She hasn't got knickers full of coke. He'd waddle through the knickers full of coke.
You might be right. Okay. And you set your challenge to me, which was that to put on my Audible, I Catch the Castle, and I am loving it. Actually, it's really good.
I'm so pleased. I've finished it.
Loving
and it is absolutely heartbreaking and very sweet and very timeless, but also very much of its time, set in the 30s. And I cannot believe, and I should check my facts first, but I don't think she ever wrote a sequel. And it's so begging. It's really begging for a sequel.
It is.
I'm going to dig out the film of that sometime this week. Mm-hmm. I've also finished a book by a writer of mine who's a favourite called John Niven. It's called The Fuck It List. And it's a marvellous novel set in USA 2026 when Ivanka Trump is president and Donald is mostly living at large on the golf course.
That's clever.
It's the story of one man's bloody revenge on an America of the very near future. And it's sad, it's mad, it's desperate, big ideas, thoughtful, clever, and very, very dark. And I'm now embarking on Hamnet by Maggie O'Farrell. Mm-hmm. And I've got Craig Brown's Beatles biog 1, 2, 3, 4 on the Audible too. And just
plenty going on, aren't you?
Plenty going on. But nice that thing, listening to the Craig Brown Beatles biog on Audible, is our old grumpy mate, Kate Robbins, is doing all the female voices.
Oh, is she?
Yes.
Great. She was
because,
in the Grumpies.
Because, her mum was Paul McCartney's cousin.
That's right.
Yeah, so, you know, it's all in the family and she's got that, you know, she can tap into her Liverpool roots really easily.
Oh,
and it's really, it's great. You sort of lie there at night getting off to sleep and you go, oh, Kate's there doing her Liverpool thing. I'm really enjoying it. So finally now to round up the show, we'd just like to say thank you, wouldn't we, Judith?
And thank you for voting for us in the podcast awards. Lots and lots of people did, I think, on the Instagram. And if you haven't done, go to the Instagram page and please, we'd love you to vote for us on for the podcast awards because we really would like to win something.
Yeah, we've got a real outsider's chance. It's kind of that thing that'd be worth putting money on because at the moment I think we're like 1 to 1 million.
Yeah, I think so.
Something like that.
We need all the help we can get.
It'd be really lovely if we sort of, yeah, just made a little bit of an impression on that award ceremony. But, you know, otherwise, I think what we'll do, Judith, is if only it was the trouble is it'll be virtual probably. Otherwise, we could just gate crash it and start screaming, it should have been us. but that probably won't happen. Thank you so much, everybody, for all your brilliant, brilliant emails. We have had a bumper crop this week. We've had lots of talk about cysts and feet. We've also had lots of other things and we do read them all and we really appreciate them and do keep them coming in. So thank you very, very much indeed. Judith, what are you going to do for the rest of the day?
I think I'm going to finish painting my boots and I might go on the bike. What about you?
Before you leave the boat, what have you christened her?
Agnes, as in St. Agnes, because that's the island in the Scilly Isles where we used to go when the girls were little and where I want my ashes scattered.
Oh, my God, don't say that. Yes. Oh, you've really upset me.
I don't like
the idea of you having your ashes scattered. Oh, I know it's got to go somewhere. I'll probably die before you, so it doesn't matter that much.
I doubt it.
Well, next time I come and stay with you, I'll smash a bottle of Chardonnay over St. Agnes.
Yes, please. And, what are you doing today?
I am going to go for a walk on Peckham Rye, which is one of my favourite walks around southeast London, near where I live. It's a lovely expanse of green, and then it's got a special little garden in the middle with a water fountain, and the peonies are about to come out. And the other place that's local to me that is really gobsmackingly beautiful, if you know where I live and you're thinking, oh, where shall I go? If you're local, Nunhead Cemetery is the old sort of abandoned cemetery. It is a place of absolute enchantment, especially when the sunlight is coming through, heavy greenery as it is at the moment. It's a proper dappled glade with loads of gravestones. Yeah. And on that note, cheerful note. We shall love you and leave you. Judith, have a great day. And I'll speak to you soon.
Lovely to speak to you, and lovely to speak to you, gang.
And thank you to Daisy. Cheers all. Speak to you next week. Lots of love. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, I'm Guy Raz, and on my show, Wisdom from the Top, I talk with CEOs and business leaders about the toughest challenges of their careers.
There's lots of ways to measure success.
Sometimes a company has to bet against itself.
We wanted to set ourselves apart by having a point of view.
Businesses really impact people's lives in pretty fundamental ways.
On Wisdom from the Top, some of the greatest business leaders of our time share their intimate stories of leadership, innovation, and transformation. Stories you won't hear anywhere else. Check out Wisdom from the Top only on Luminary. Now, back to your show.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.